Although, one of my least favorite questions. It said, are musical instruments other than the duff permissible in any school, in any madhab? Please clarify. Also, is qawwali allowed? Yeah, we have, I've written and I've spoken about this matter before. And the way of taqwa, as Sheikh Abdul Rahman expressed it to me, he says, "Mu'tamad annaha haram." Says the reliable position is that they're haram, they're not halal. Sheikh Ahmed al-Rifai, in the selection that we read earlier, he says, "Aghbat al-Nas, the most enviable of people, man arafa zamanahu." This is someone who knows the times in which he lives. And so there are some fatwas about musical instruments that exist in different madhabs. The basis for them is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there will be a group of people at the end of time. Yeah, it's in a hadith in Sahih Bukhari that there will be a group of people at the end of time who will say that that sex and wine and musical instruments are halal, and that a mountain will collapse on them and destroy them. And so the mountain collapsing on them and destroying them indicates that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not exactly in agreement with the things that they're doing. So this is evidence. This hadith was mentioned ta'liqan. It was mentioned not as part of the Sahih al-Bukhari, but rather one of the things that's in the titles of Sahih al-Bukhari. Bukhari mentions it without the sanad, without the chain of transmission. However, so Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, in his ta'liq, a five-volume work in which he takes every single one of these hadiths and he checks them out, and he says, is it sahih or is it not sahih? Some of these title hadiths are not sahih in Sahih Bukhari. The ones, every musnad hadith, every hadith that it says from so-and-so, from so-and-so, from so-and-so, from the Prophet, is sahih in Sahih Bukhari. But some of the ta'liq are not. And usually he indicates it by saying, Bukhari indicates it by saying, it has been said or it has been related in the passive tense. This is the tag that tells you whether that it's not probably sahih. And so he mentioned this as a title, hadith, taliqan. And the Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, he checked the hadith, and he said, yes, he says, this is a sahih hadith. And so this is an evidence from a hafiz that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. And so the basis for musical instruments is that they are haram, basically. And so we find that they're prohibited. Imam al-Ghazali, you know, people who talk about Imam al-Ghazali as a Sufi and say musical instruments are legitimate, or even worse, they lie against Imam al-Ghazali by mistranslating sama', which means audition, meaning listening to the Qur'an being recited beautifully or to qasidas being sung. They translated music. I've seen this, which is just, you know, that's a Wyatt Earp translation. Never mind. Anyway, it's a dishonest translation. Puzzled look back there. It was a joke my skipper used to tell, despite all our limits of time. I'll relate it. Wyatt Earp was pursuing a group of bandidos who had just robbed a bank. And Mexican bandidos who had come across the border and stolen all the gold out of the bank. And so Wyatt was after him with his posse and his Spanish translator. And he finally got the drop on the bandidos in a farmstead, empty, abandoned farm place. And he said, where's the gold? They finally got all of them together, but they didn't find the gold. And they said that, well, we don't know. He says, tell them that I'm going to, he says, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that if they don't tell. And so finally one of them sees that, why it's serious, and he says, we threw it down the well in the back of the house. The Spanish translator is translating back and forth. He says, he ain't afraid to die, Wyatt. So this is why, as a translator, when I see a translation like this, I call it a Wyatt Earp translation. And so, but so Imam Ghazali, in several places of his Ihya, when he talks about, not music, but musical instruments as such, but about the Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy al-Munkar, he says there's sometimes in Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy al-Munkar, i.e. in an Islamic society, when you hear musical instruments being played, what do? You go in and you break the musical instruments and so that they can't be used. And he uses it not once or twice, but three or four times in the Ihya al-Mudin. He mentions this as an example of a physical force used in Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy al-Munkar. And so what does this mean about Imam al-Ghazali and musical instruments? It means that his position was the position mentioned by Imam al-Nawawi in his Minhaj and other works, that musical instruments are haram in the Shafi'i madhab. Musical instruments are haram in the Hanafi madhab also, because the idla is that they cause lahu, or it's a divertment, distraction from Allah. كُلُّمَا يَلْهَلْ بِهِ الرَّجُلُ الْمُسْلِمُ بَاطِلٌ. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every single thing that a man distracts and diverts himself with is batil, is falsehood. إِلَّا رَمْيَهُ بِقَوْسِهِ أَوْ تَأْدِيبَهُ فَرَسَهُ أَوْ مُلَاعَبَتُهُ أَهْلَهُ. Or else, except for the his shooting with his bow, or his breaking in his horse, trading his horse, or fooling around with his wife. فَإِنَّهُنَّ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Fooling around with his wife, meaning verbally or sexually, that has both meanings, just like it does in English. And فَإِنَّهُنَّ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. All these three things are all of the truth. Why? Because the first two have an advantage in jihad, and the last of them has an advantage in the family life. You know, fooling around, making jokes, and lightening the atmosphere in one's home is something that has to be in the family life. So this is the idla for the Hanafis, is that it causes lahu, and so they're also prohibited. And in the Hanbalis and in the Malikis also, there's mention in Dardir's Sharh al-Saghir, which is a authoritative text of the Maliki work. Okay, and so in all of the matun of the madhabs, as Sheikh Abdurrahman expressed it, the mu'tamid is at their haram. In outlying Muslim lands and places where there are Muslim polities, fatwas were given, sometimes here and sometimes there, about the permissibility of using, well, just this instrument and just that instrument. And so the fatwas existed. Departing from the asal, they say, well, we don't see any harm in it. And so they, but these are the exceptions to the matun. And so they, but these, my point about such fatwas is that, you know, getting a fatwa here and a fatwa from there and a fatwa from there, and a fatwa from Ibn Hazm, you know, whatever. Ibn Hazm said, well, there isn't a single sahih hadith about the tahrim of musical instruments, saying that he didn't believe that the one in Sahih Bukhari was sahih. And it was sahih. Ibn Hazm was not an authority on hadith either, in case anybody is wondering. And to the objection with picking out a fatwa from over here, in Indonesia, for example, they gave a fatwa that it was halal. In Hadramaut, in Yemen, they said, well, the Ney, Imam Rafi gave the fatwa that the Ney, the shepherd's pipe, was permissible to play. And so they said that a duff with the nay in a certain of the Hadrami masjids and singing along with it is okay. And one of the recent fatwas in 1907, someone in Hodeida in Yemen gave a fatwa that the Sanduq al-Ajaib, the box of wonders. Apparently someone brought an Edison gramophone from Cairo to Hodeidah. And so there was some little voice squeaking out of the gramophone, you know, some musical thing. And he says, well, and so someone gave a fatwa that it was not, this was not music. He says this was just something that was creating wonder. And so from which some of the modernists in our time have taken a fatwa from here and a fatwa from there and a fatwa from here, from these outlying Muslim lands, in which, as I adduce, the context, the cultural context of music in each of these places was rigidly, culturally circumscribed. So it didn't get beyond a certain point, and it didn't get beyond. It was used for this, and it wasn't used for that, and that, and that, and that. It wasn't used to fill one's ears by day and by night. And so people in our, some of the muftis in our times say, well, there's not unanimity upon it. And so we take a fatwa from here, and a fatwa from here, and a fatwa from here, and we these people said it was okay. And so the music in our times is fine. The music in our time is okay. And so the point is that there's nothing that has as direct an effect on the human soul as music in some sort. The music is the, as Schopenhauer expressed it, he says it's the most direct and pure expression of the ego. And so the al-kalam yakhruju, al-kalamu yabruzu wa alayhi kisfat al-qalb min ma baras. Words come out of the hearts and they bear the raiment of the hearts which they came out of. And so music also, it comes out of somewhere. It comes out of the nafs. And upon it is the raiment of the nafs from which it came. So this is, so it has a tremendous, as Plato remarked, the power of music to corrupt or to uplift is tremendous. And Sheikh Abdurrahman, our Sheikh, was a musicologist. Tunes, he came up with new tunes and wrote them, and qasidas, an entire book of his poetic works. Poetic works of the Arabs were never meant to be bumped dryly off the page. They're supposed to be sung. And his works were sung and are sung. So he was a specialist on this very point. He said, yes, he says, the music behind the words, the tune behind the qasidas, it has a meaning also, a longing for the divine. But the efforts of the muftis to say that all music is halal and so go to it is something that takes away the very life and ruh of the deen out of the heart of the person that follows that advice. What are pop songs about? Unless they've changed a great deal, they're from the time when I was a kid, they're about dope sex and cheap thrills. Has anything changed? I don't think so. And the Hanafi illah, that they're haram because they distract, because they draw one away. Everyone, when they get their tawbah, everyone, ordinary people, not talking about people who join the tariqah, everyone, when they get their tawbah, what do? They get rid of the, you know, they get rid of the records, the record collection or the CD collection of dope sex and cheap thrill songs that they used to listen to in the bad old days. Why? For the very good reason that the Quran doesn't arouse the soul and doesn't lift the soul with its majestic and divine rhythms when the heart is stuffed with the effects and the most potent translation of what's in somebody else's nefs, the nefs of some kafir person that wrote this song over here or wrote this song over there. And others have said, well, true, live music is prohibited. There's this hadith in Bukhari. But they didn't say anything about recorded music. And here we have this fatwa from Hudaydah about the Sanduq al-Ajaib, the wonder box. And so recorded music is okay. The wonder box, you know, the Edison gramophone that made its way from Cairo to Hudaydah in 1907 or whatever, it doesn't sound like our recorded music today, my friends. Recordings today, they sound better than the person that originally recorded them. Everything is preserved. Nothing is missed. Well, and so they say, some of the people grasping at straws, they say, well, this is not music. It's a recording. Well, if year 2002, the sales that were spent on live performances in one country, the United States, is, and compared to the sales that were spent on musical recordings in the same year, is any indication. People consider recordings music, unsurprisingly. Around $8 billion for live performances were box office. And recorded music grossed about $12 billion. This is a few years ago, in 2002. So what does it mean? It means that the illa is still there. And so I say that the muftis that give fatwas, go to it, kids, all the music you want, as long as it's recorded, it's not music. Yes, you can find a website that says that's fine. But, you know, after all, you can also say there's a website that makes suicide an act of worship. If you look, you can find it. There it is. You can find a website that makes anything halal that's haram. And in reality, there's nothing, almost nothing, that the fuqaha don't disagree about, and somebody has disagreed about somewhere, somehow. But what the muftis fail to understand about the masadih, the modernists, is that when you embrace the modern attitudes, when you pour the mindset and the attitudes directly into your ruh, it's going to pour acid on the roots of your deen. So listening to this and listening to that, just give it a try. When will the hadha yawmun la yantiqun? Imam Shafi, this is a day on which they shall not speak. Imam Shafi could speak a great, he could say quite a bit. He's a hujja in Arabic language, a tremendous speaker of Arabic. He heard that being recited from the Quran, and he fell over unconscious. He fainted out of awe. So virtual reality tends to steal from actual reality. And the music, the people who have given fatwas and say, well, we'll get the fatwa from Hudaydah and we'll get the fatwa from Indonesia from 4 centuries ago when they said this was okay and that was okay. They don't realize, I aver and assert, that they don't realize what this does to the soul and what it does to the heart and what it does for the deen. And the first of the masalih and mursala, the first of the sharia-countenanced interests from which exceptions are made in fatwa questions, is deen.